It's a TV News podcast recorded October 13th, 2014. Comic book TV shows. Johnny, it's come to my attention that the milk conspiracy is intensifying.
Yeah.
You've gathered more evidence this week?
American Dairy Association.
Oh, yeah?
Very clearly.
Are they behind it?
They're behind it. Big Dairy is behind the FX. Rupert Murdoch and Big Dairy have been sleeping together.
Have you started getting vague threats from them?
Yeah, they're like, hey, you don't talk about our product placement, or we're going to make your bones very weak and brittle.
Did you go out to your mailbox and there was a little carton of milk in there?
There was a cow. There was a cow head in my bed this morning, like in The Godfather.
Now, in fairness, did you put that cow head there?
Maybe. Well, it wasn't just the head when I started.
Someone's got to do it.
I was really hungry.
You're hungry, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the big, delicious cow.
Well, you know how you eat a cow. You start with the feet.
Yes, that's right. One bite at a time, you just chew your way up. Then you're left with a head.
Well, welcome to the TV Dudes. I'm Grant Davis, and with me are
Randy Lander.
And I'm Johnny Neal.
And this week we're talking about comic book TV shows. So we got Arrow and Green Flash and Red Arrow, something like that. Is that what those are?
Arrow, yeah. Flash, and The Walking Dead.
Is it? It's called Arrow.
It's called Arrow. It's not called Green Arrow. They don't call him Green Arrow yet. They will. I'm certain by the end of the show they'll be calling him Green Arrow.
Have you noticed that the titles have changed every season?
Yep,
I have. A little more intricate.
They're doing an evolution of the character, and it's nice to see.
Is he called Arrow right now?
He's called The Arrow.
The Arrow?
Yep.
So you think there's going to be a couple different Arrows, and he's going to be like, man, I need to distinguish myself.
Well, no, that's kind of funny. They have Roy Harper, his sidekick, who has gone by various names. Originally was Speedy, then became Arsenal, and in the comics goes by Red Arrow. So if they start calling him Red Arrow, they've got to call Ollie Green Arrow, right?
Well, he's still just calling him Roy.
Which can't last. He's got to have some kind of code name.
Right.
Yeah.
And he called him Speedy, but that's because just to get his attention to snap him, because that's what he calls his little sister,
right?
Who wasn't there this week because she went off with their father.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not trying to jump ahead into us actually discussing the show yet.
Yep.
It was a painful show.
We'll get there.
But no, just Arrow and just The Walking
Somebody
Dead.
Somebody say my safety word to snap me out of this.
The Walking Dead. Milk.
Okay. Yeah, milk.
Obviously, that's the safety word.
That's the one that brings me back to reality.
Oh, boy. But before we get into that, we got a little bit of email and we got some house cleaning to do. I think I always call it house cleaning. I'm going to stick with it. Once again, you guys can email us at mail@thetvdudes.com if you guys want to send us any questions. And also, go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating on our The TV Dudes podcast and write us a little review and we'll read it on here. And that helps us out, gives us better visibility. And a couple of you guys have done that this week, and we appreciate it.
Keeps us from cutting ourselves.
It does. Our first one is from...
Speak for yourself.
Sorry, it doesn't stop Johnny from cutting himself.
Johnny, quit cutting yourself. Our first one comes from Three Dog Mom, and the title is Pepe Ajo? I don't know what that is. He says, great podcast. As a TV junkie, I enjoy listening to your opinions and recaps. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Three Dog Mom. And our next one is from Metal Ray Gear. His title is No Finer Source, and he says, the TV Dudes have been in my back pocket or iPod for years. They are my go-to source for TV shows and a good litmus test for running shows that you may not have been sure about or may have missed. Grant, Greg, Randy, and Johnny Neal collectively have years of television viewing under their belt, which makes their radar spot on accurate.
That's awesome. We're in his back pocket like Rupert Murdoch is in the back pocket of Big Dairy.
He's actually in the front pocket.
He's in the front pocket?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that Rupert Murdoch
it's
in
like
your
that.
Pocket, or are you just happy to drink milk?
That's so weird.
Or do you just have a really strange scoliosis?
What I really love is the idea that this is going to be someone's first episode of the TV Dudes. Like, what was with the milk talk? What was that all about?
Talking about milk. For anyone who doesn't know, Johnny believes that Fox and Rupert Murdoch have some big milk conspiracy they're sprinkling throughout all their shows to promote milk.
They're in a collaborative collusion.
Maybe. This is madness.
How do you like my alliteration there? How do you like my alliteration now, Grant?
It's good, I guess. All right, we got an email from Bammer.
Bammer.
Bammer 100 on the site. He says, I'm working my way through the many excellent series that HBO has, and I was wondering, what are your favorite HBO shows? So he just finished Sopranos a while ago. That was pretty interesting.
Excellent place to start.
He thought it was interesting.
Kind of
the
one that started it all, too.
Yeah, yeah. So. Said it was interesting to finally see that finale in context. He's finished Deadwood. He's seen three seasons of The Wire, four of Boardwalk, he's seen Curb Your Enthusiasm, just about to start Rome. Wants to check out Carnival, Six Feet Under, and Veep.
It's a lot of good ones.
I mean, these are all, you kind of are covering it. He has no interest in True Blood or Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I would...
Favorite so far is Deadwood.
I didn't get into Carnival. I tried really hard, and it just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I haven't
watched
that one.
And Rome didn't do it for me either.
I liked Rome, but I didn't finish watching it. I would say, comedy-wise, Flight of the Conchords should be on your radar. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
I liked Lucky Louie, but I'm...
I did, too.
I understand a lot of people did not like Lucky Louie, and it was only one season, I think.
Yeah, it was a short-lived, yep.
Yeah.
I would... And I know that I'm barking up the wrong tree here based on what you just said, but I would really recommend the first season of True Blood. You don't have to watch, you don't have to commit to the rest of it, but if you watch the first season, you're going to get a lot of sexy, trashy laughs.
You are
out
barking
of it.
Up the wrong tree, because I was going to say, if anything, you should watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying one season. I'm not saying you got to stick with it, but if you just look at that first season, it's a really fun, trashy, very political show.
I'll also say, not for everyone, but you should give Treme a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I love Treme.
He says his favorite show is Deadwood.
So Treme may be up your alley.
If Deadwood's your favorite, then you've got good taste,
yeah,
my man.
Yeah. But you could be like, hey, if you want to take a gamble, if you're really into Milch, go ahead and check out the first season.
Milch?
Only season of...
Luck?
Of Luck or... come on, Johnny. Jesus. It took me a second to understand why you did that.
Chocolate Milch.
Or John from Cincinnati.
Oh.
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 Don't. Are you a true Milch believer?
No. Last thing you should check out, if you've watched everything else twice, then you can check out John from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone who liked the first couple episodes of John from Cincinnati. It goes nowhere. Don't waste your time.
Okay, well, he has a quick little second question. He says it's been a few weeks since You're the Worst ended. He enjoyed it quite a bit. And he thought it was one of the biggest surprises of this year. His question to us is there a show that we thought we wouldn't like for some reason, but we took a chance on it anyway and ended up loving it?
I'm sure there is. Well, Arrow, honestly. I mean, I went off Arrow, and I did not like Smallville, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to like this. And I finally went back and watched season one, the rest of season one, and then watched all of season two, and now I love it. I like can't wait to see episodes.
Bob's Burgers was one of those for me. I was very hesitant to get into that show. Sopranos, actually, but I didn't watch that for the first three or four seasons, and I was like, there's no way. I'm just not into mafia stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Finally, I jumped in. I was like, holy shit, this show is amazing.
Yeah.
But you have to start from the beginning. That's The Wire.
Yeah, I got to agree with Randy on Arrow, but also Smallville. I didn't think I would get into Smallville, and once I did, I was just totally glued to it. And it was on 10 years, and I'll tell you, if I had my way, I would cherry-pick a box set of shows that would only be about half of the shows that were ever on. There's an awful lot of filler, but the stuff that worked really surprised me how nicely they filled in parts of the origin of Superman that couldn't have been dealt with on such an expanded level anywhere else.
You know, the other one for me is Friday Night Lights. I'm not a football guy. I didn't think I was going to have any interest, but I kept hearing so many people talk about how good it was, and I was so glad I watched it.
I just wrapped it up.
Yeah.
I watched all five seasons again.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it. There are people who don't like football, and they're adamant, like, I hate football. It's dumb. How can anyone like it? They get, like, really angry about it.
Sure.
And I figure if you at least watch this show, you don't have to like football.
And I don't.
But I figure you can at least respect why others do at some point.
You can see where football isn't just a destructive force that ruins people's lives.
It's,
yes.
It's very community building,
yes,
and it's team sportsmanship, and it bonds people. And I get that. And I think it was kind of beautifully illustrated in that
show. On the other hand, if someone really hates football, they might just view it as propaganda.
It isn't because that's secondary to
No, I don't think it is, but I think people could view it that way if they really if you go in with an agenda like I hate football, I hate high school football, it's terrible. You could go in and think, "Ah, this isn't how it is," but no, you're right. It's if you're not a big football fan, it definitely gives you a sense of, "Okay, this is what they get out of it."
Yeah.
I would say that football is it's secondary or not even third.
Yeah.
Being a Texan, you know, that you can't help but see it how it is, you know, and know that in small towns that's all there is.
Yeah.
You know?
That's all we have, guys.
That's just all there is in a lot of small towns. And you know, and all the way across the country, it's not just football, but I mean, there's basketball, there's Hoosiers, and you know, just school sports.
Yeah.
So yeah, Friday Night Lights, that's another one that I put off.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix, I gotta say, Netflix is an amazing, probably the greatest invention since the car.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bold.
I just, there's so much you can get caught up on.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like it's a living repository of TV history.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. It's a library just right there.
We got more questions. Once again, please go to the Facebook and go to TV Dudes and like us on there, and you can see when we post up for questions. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, which is TV Dudes, at TV Dudes.
Let me just add to that I'm going to be thinking about that, and I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to come back to that.
Yeah, back to that question.
Yeah, that's kind of I wish I would have more focus on it beforehand, because I know that there are shows that
I'm sure there are some for me,
maybe
too.
Maybe we can make a little episode topic out of that.
Perhaps.
Yeah. All right, one of our questions here is from Dennis McWilliam. He says, what is the strangest thing you have heard somebody say about a TV show? Somebody once told me that The Walking Dead had great character development. it's certainly improving.
If you die and then you come back, that's pretty harsh character development. One day you're a happy-go-lucky camper.
The next strangest day you're thing about brains. TV? I heard this one guy who talked about a milk conspiracy on TV quite a bit.
It's gone viral. Bizarre. It's gone viral, Grant.
I can't get over that. I don't know. What about you guys? You guys have anything in particular?
I feel like I'm sure there's something where I was like, someone said something about it. Mostly, I'm sure it's when someone says they love a TV show and I don't understand.
Or they hate something and you don't understand. That more bugs me.
See, I can get hate. Usually there's shows, if I'm like, I can see where someone hates something I love.
Where someone says they hate Breaking Bad, I'm like, you don't have an opinion.
It's a little weird.
It's not your taste, sure.
Yeah,
but you hate it.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a big thing. That's when you're taking it too personally.
That's like, when you're trying to like aggressively attack me.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm gonna fight back.
I think that if you know, there's so much television. There's such a wealth. If you don't want to sit on this branch of this tree, you're in the forest, man. Just jump over to the next tree. You don't even have to climb down it, you know, and climb the next one all the way up. Just jump from one branch to another. There's so much. You don't have to have a hatred for something.
Oh, I can have hatreds.
Yeah. I know you can, and it worries me. It really worries me.
You have hatreds, too.
No. I come from a place of love.
So anyway, Dennis, once an episode, Johnny says the strangest thing I've ever heard anyone say about TV.
At least once.
Our next question is from Kevin Moreno. He says, do you think Gotham is being way too cartoonish?
Yes, among other problems.
Yeah?
Oh, that's the strangest thing that someone tell me, is how much they love Gotham. What's wrong with you? I understand if you like it despite its many flaws. I mean, I don't really understand, but I guess I can see it. But it's a great show. I had somebody say they like Gotham better than Flash. What's wrong with you? There is no way you can like Gotham better than Flash unless you're broken.
Well, we haven't heard everyone on the TV Dude's thoughts about Flash yet. We're going to hear
I'm
that today.
Pretty sure.
Well, and we've had three episodes of Gotham, and I got to tell you, it's kind of growing on me.
Is it really?
Yeah.
The Balloon Man really did it for you?
The Balloon Man really kind of, just because the actor that played the Balloon Man was, you know, okay, they're in on the joke. Maybe.
I just got to say that I'm really happy for Batman villain Kite Man, who finally isn't the lamest villain in the arsenal anymore.
I just thought it was, you know, I don't know. I the Penguin guy, the actor that plays the Penguin, has grown on me. And you look up his resume, he's got a lot of stuff behind him. He's done.
He was
a lot
in Walking Dead this week.
Stuff.
We'll he get was to that too. Yep.
Was he?
Oh, the Walking Penguin did.
Who was he? I believe he was the crazy man who came flying out of the train car.
No, with the big beard?
I believe so. It was on Talking Dead. They mentioned it.
Wow.
Oh, that's fun.
All right, one last question, and this will lead us right into our news.
That's another one I want to think about before I get back to you. Oh, okay. What's the craziest thing about a show? Because I got to figure out how to frame that answer.
Yeah. We can get to it later.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do it later.
Chris Hatfield says, what are your thoughts on the Powers TV trailer? And Randy?
Let's take us to the news. So Powers, the first network from the PlayStation Network. Mm-hmm. They put their trailer out.
Wait, say that again? Yeah. Say that again? Okay, now I know. The strangest thing I've heard about a TV show, it's put out by the PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
So, it's like Battleship being based on a toy by Hasbro.
So this is based on a comic by Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming from early 2000s. It's about a pair of cops in a world full of superheroes.
We've read the comic.
I don't think, Johnny, have you read the comic?
No, I haven't.
But Grant and I have read the comic.
Yeah.
And when we heard the casting, did some colorblind casting, and that's fine. Dina Pilgrim is a black woman. I'm good with that. Big buff dude Christian Walker is played by not big buff dude Sharlto Copley. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe, you never know. Maybe it worked really well in the room, and they're going to be great. And then they show us the trailer, and every fear I had was pretty much justified.
It's not the comic.
No, it's not the comic.
They have Christian Walker, who is this. He's supposed to be a hulking mass of a giant Superman type character. He's supposed to have a giant build. And they have this scrawny, petulant Sharlto Copley playing him. And he's just bitchy about the fact that he lost his powers.
Yeah, did you know he lost his powers? Because they didn't mention it much in the trailer. I mean,
they
only
mentioned it a lot.
Only every 20 seconds or so.
Well, is that the selling point of the show? I mean, no. Is that like his origin,
In the comic, they didn't reveal that until much later in.
Oh, wow.
And this one, it's right up front. It's complete reversal.
Did the comic say fuck in the first 90 seconds?
Yes. Okay, the cursing they may have gotten right.
That kind of just kind of bothered me. Like, that's your audience you're reaching for. Yep. People that just have to have the word fuck four times in a 90-second
They were trying
commercial.
To show, hey, we're not restricted here. Yeah. We can be bad boys about this.
Hey, we're not on the Nintendo Network.
It makes me wonder, is this how they cut it? Is it just bad, the person who cut the
bad trailer?
Or is the show going to be that bad?
I don't know. The trailer was really awful. And I saw some people liking it. I don't understand because the trailer was terrible.
It looked like one of those Sharon Stone movies from the 90s, like Sliver or, those other just bad movies that had one star and a bunch of B movies.
See, I can kind of imagine, like, if you hadn't read the comic, you might find it appealing. But then Johnny says, no, not
nope,
so much. So.
Nope. Well, the thing is, it's not the comic. And the comic, while I went off it eventually, early on was pretty good and was interesting. It was a look at superheroes as celebrity culture and cops policing that. And it was an interesting thing, and things to say. This doesn't seem to have anything to say if that trailer is what we're going on. The trailer seems to be saying, look, we can say fucking powers a whole lot.
Yeah. The thing about comic books is that you get to fill in the blank in your imagination.
Yeah.
And when you make it TV or movies, when you make it live, then you have all these logistics that you have to see,
sure.
That they have to work.
Yeah.
There has to be an economy. There has to be a power supply.
Sure.
And if they don't get that right, that world building that I know you're a stickler for, if they don't get the world building right, then they don't have any place to go because they're not starting anywhere.
You're not wrong. Now, on the other hand, are we being unfair that you can't really show off world building in a 90-second trailer?
Well, yeah.
But you can give a sense. Like when you saw the trailer for Winter Soldier in the theaters, or you saw the first trailer for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was disappointing, but you saw the trailer and you're like, oh, this looks cool.
Yeah, but they were based on a pretty big franchise.
Sure, but S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. was sort of an... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a new thing. It wasn't like they were doing a...
Oh, come on.
What?
Come on. It has what's his name? It has
Coulson.
Coulson.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean,
okay,
come on.
Coulson. Yeah, you're right. You're right. What about Arrow? I mean, when Arrow's trailers came out,
I thought it looked awful.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
It did.
So maybe it is. Maybe it's just a bad trailer. Maybe it's tough to do world building in a trailer. But I don't know. If I were a betting man, I would put money on this being really awful.
The tone seemed off.
Yeah.
In the trailer, Sharlto Copley's accent is immediately annoying.
Yeah.
It's fake, and he's trying too hard to do some American accent, but it's kind of this weird Boston. South
African accents are very weird. Yeah. They're kind of Australian and kind of European.
Because Christian Walker's from Chicago.
Yeah, he's not doing South
African. No, but he's accent. But that's his the way he talks normally, so it's like maybe he's not a good enough actor to fake it.
Yeah.
I feel like he's just kind of trying a little bit. To make it American eyes.
How many times have you watched this commercial?
Enough.
He's doing kind of what Karen Gillan does in Selfie. She lowers her voice about an octave so she ditches to ditch her accent. And it feels weird. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of other TV news, there was another reveal at New York Comic Con. Marvel's Daredevil. We got our first look at him.
Oh, yeah. And I thought it looks awesome.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Here's the thing. This is based on Frank Miller's version of the character from his year one that he did with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. If this is the first thing he wears and then he goes into the costume.
I'm sure.
But if this is what he's wearing, it is very similar to what he wore in the trial of the Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a cheesy different era. I don't want that.
I couldn't tell by the picture.
It's all black. And his eyes are covered. And Stan Lee, creator of the character, griped, and he said, people aren't supposed to know he's blind.
Right, right.
If he wears a mask with no eyes, he's giving away one of his biggest advantages.
But who looks at a guy jumping around like that and goes, oh, wait, his eyes are covered. He must be blind.
I don't know.
Who would ever think that?
I don't know. I was not excited by this. I wasn't, it wasn't like, oh, this is going to suck now. But it was not what I wanted to see. I want to see the costume.
Spider-Man's eyes are covered.
He has eyes drawn.
But he has eyes on there.
Okay, but
so I would think it was Charlie Day in the Green Man outfit. Always Sunny.
Yeah, I wouldn't be like, oh, Charlie Day's blind all of a sudden in his Green Man outfit.
No, I'd say, oh, Daredevil is Charlie Day. That's what I would say.
Oh, man. See, there's another one of the strangest theories I've ever heard about TV shows.
They also had a picture of him as blind lawyer Matt Murdock.
He
looks fine. Looks okay.
Wasn't there already a red suit picture released, though?
No.
The only one we've seen was the one from the movies. I mean, unless somebody's photoshopped it. But
man, I think he looks great.
I think it's okay. I think it's a transitional costume.
I think one of my biggest gripes about these superheroes and their costumes is that they're not super seamstresses. They don't have a superpower to just sew their outfits like that. It's bullshit.
Is this where you're gonna
need to see a transition?
Is this where you're gonna start telling me how the Flash's costume isn't great? Because you lose me right there.
Oh, I'm sorry. His leather costume looks.
It's really, a polymer.
Really heavy and awesome in the show.
It's a polymer to hold. No,
you are always gonna be on divide on this. You like more realistic superheroes. I want them to be more fanciful.
No. I like the fanciful aspect. Fanciful. I think how they handled Captain America was brilliant. I love that they have his whatever USO outfit, and then they transition that storyline, and that's just becomes emblematic of who he is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a great way to do it. That's smart. I think they did a great job with Batman. I
disagree. I don't think they've ever done a good Batman costume in the movies.
Oh, man.
None of them have had any of them.
Adam West?
Wearing battle armor.
Okay, Adam West has a good costume.
I mean, come on. That's the best. Batusi.
The Flash.
The Flash costume is one of the best costumes ever done, and they did a great translation.
Well, this Daredevil one's just transitional. There's no way they're going to stick with this because they're going to want the iconic look eventually.
That's what I'm hoping for. And if that's the case, I'm fine with it being a riff on the Frank Miller original. Frank Miller sort of retcon year one. That's okay.
It makes me think of Iron Fist. The bandana over the head kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree that there should be eye holes.
Yeah.
Or at least draw some eyes on.
Because, I mean, Daredevil's red costume, he has a place for eyes. There's no eye holes, but he has a place for his eyes would go.
But he doesn't need it. Justice is blind, and he's operating in the dark, and he's just fighting thugs, and who's going to take a good look at him like that?
Bullseye, because he's good like that.
Bullseye's not going to pop up until he changes his outfit. Maybe he has to wear this and then go, oh, wait, that was dumb. I should probably, keep that whole blind thing a secret.
Yeah. No, my issue is not with the blind thing. That's Stan Lee's issue. My issue is, I hope that they're not going that way instead of the red costume. Also, I know this was never going to happen, but I held out hope that they might do the crazy yellow boxing shorts that was a Resident Evil costume.
Yeah.
I love that costume.
Me too.
And I think they may have retconned that one out.
What about the outfits that Arrow has to deal with? I mean, Isn't kind of like, oh, he's just wearing a hood and some black eye makeup. And
they've gotten better with Arrow.
I think it's almost like...
Yeah, they did. They did.
It's almost like biker leathers or something. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's very... It looks kind of store-bought, but modified.
I feel like everyone gave him a hard time initially for how he looked, the character.
Yeah,
and it's part of the story.
Well, they did on the show, too. Yeah, they gave him a hard time for the hood. And he said, well, I wear this to honor the guy who saved me, you know, and taught me to use an arrow on the island. And then The Flash, Barry Allen, told him, you need to wear a mask and not wear makeup. And he gave him the mask.
Yeah, and that was a great moment.
Yeah.
And that's the thing where I've kind of gotten okay with everything Arrow's done that I don't like. Not everything, but a lot of the stuff that the quibbles I have with that show come down to, okay, well, they're doing an evolution of him. They're planning to go to a place where he's going to be the Green Arrow I want to see.
I've liked him all along since I started liking the show.
Yeah.
But I had to watch it from the very beginning to like it. That's something I can't state heavy enough that if you just jump in thinking you're going to get it,
right?
You're smarter than me.
But speaking of characters evolving and transitions, mm-hmm. Archer has a bit of a problem.
Oh, yeah?
A potential public relations problem. I don't know if you guys know this, but the name of their spy agency...
ISIS?
Yes. It's also been used for other things.
Like what?
Well, there was a
show in the 70s about an Egyptian Captain Marvel chick.
There's that. Okay. There's also a bunch of crazy people cutting off heads and burning their way through the Middle East.
Oh,
again?
Yeah. But this time they're using the name ISIS.
Oh, mighty ISIS.
You know, a show like Archer, I would imagine they would just fully embrace it and be like, how can we use this to make fun of things? But...
Yep.
Also, it's a bit of a sensitive issue right now. I can understand.
Yeah,
and Archer's known for being very sensitive for addressing their sensitivities.
They're going to have the first episode. They're with the CIA now.
Well, luckily, ISIS already dissolved 2 seasons ago.
Yes,
that's what I was thinking.
But they're getting back. They're going to be a spy ring again.
Yeah,
and so they're just going to. They said they're just going to have an episode where they're rolling the ISIS logo away. That's it. That's the only acknowledgement they're going to do.
Ah, okay.
They don't even want to joke about it. The executive producer Matt Thompson told the Daily Beast. He said, it's just the most awful thing, and we don't want to have anything to do with it.
What does it stand for on the show?
International Secret Intelligence Service.
Oh, that's so easy.
Yeah.
What does it stand for in the Middle East?
I don't
Iranian,
remember.
Iranian, Syrian, Islamic.
Yeah, Islamic something
it's,
states.
It's sometimes called IRIS, sometimes called ISIS.
ISIL sometimes,
ISIL,
yes.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yep.
They got there first, man.
Archer owns it. Archer should sue.
They should attack.
I've seen a lot of people saying that they're disappointed that Archer isn't going to like do some riff on it, have Archer complaining about how some Middle Eastern terrorist group stole their name. But I think they just wanted to get away from
it
as soon as possible.
It's pretty bad taste to make fun of something like that. I mean, it's all well and good for us to do it, but you know, people have died.
Yeah.
A lot of people have died, and a lot of more people are going to die. And it's pretty hard to make a buck off of making jokes about
That's
like that.
A good point.
And speaking of people who've died.
Oh, boy.
Jan Hooks, Saturday Night Live vet, died at age 57.
She died young.
She did die young. Not as young as her co-star, Phil Hartman. But, you know, Phil Hartman has sort of different circumstances. But she's still young to be gone. And Jan Hooks is one of those that I was never a huge fan of at the time. But she had a few great moments. Like, she was great in some of those shows.
She's one of those people I think is just that great backup talent everything.
She was the kind that was so good you didn't notice how good she was.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
She singing sisters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was just really funny, hysterically funny, great timing.
Well, a background chameleon that could just like add
And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't she do Tammy Faye Baker?
Yeah.
She was great as Tammy Faye Baker.
You know what I think of first, even though I loved her on SNL, what I think of first is she was the tour guide of the Alamo in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, that's right.
And she does the whole thing about the corn, the whole riff of you got corn masa and corn tortillas. And then she goes, do I hear someone's stomach growling? And it was just so funny. Anybody who's ever been on a tour of a historic place has had to listen to those kind of canned speeches. And there's no basement in the Alamo. And she laughs at him. It was a great little Texas chip for me.
Yeah.
So for all of her other stuff, that's what...
Yeah, you know. That's memorable.
The only thing, she was on 30 Rock a couple of times.
Yeah. She did voice work on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
She was Apu's wife.
And she was things. What's her name's mother on
My Name Is Earl.
No, that's somebody 30 else. Rock.
On 30 she Rock,
was,
yeah, that's
she was
right.
The trailer park mom of the star, not Tina Fey, but the other woman. I can't think of her name all of a
Jane
sudden.
Jane Curtin?
No.
On 30 Rock, not
Jane
30
Krakowski.
Rock. That's right. Jane she was Krakowski's Jane Krakowski's
mother.
That's right.
She was her mother.
That's why I was having trouble placing her, because I keep thinking of her as Brett Butler on My Name Is Earl as... Yeah. As
we should have taken notes.
Mom. Yeah,
we should have written some of this down before.
Oh well,
but that's the only thing I'd seen her in, and like when I saw her on there, I was like, why don't you see her more often?
Yeah.
You know, what has she been doing since SNL?
And I think you're right. I think it's because she was sort of a background actor. She would disappear a little bit into the roles, but she was always good.
Yeah.
Finally, one last bit of news. You know how everybody loves the Nielsens, right?
Yeah.
Really thinks they're the best rating system we could possibly have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out there was a software glitch that screwed up TV ratings for months.
And people use those very highly.
Now,
was it a hacker?
No, it was not even a hacker. It was just a screw up.
So the all our favorite shows were basically rated nude pictures of Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes. It's funny. The error wound up benefiting ABC while negatively affecting the others.
Wow.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing. It's clear that this didn't affect ratings so much as, like, no shows got canceled because the ratings were off. No shows. But what happened is some advertisers paid inflated rates.
Ah, yeah.
And this is the biggest thing is this is a chink in the armor for Nielsen. Nielsen's already taken heat. There's a bunch of other people... there's a Rentrak and ComScore.
They're like chomping at the bit for it.
They're trying to track TV viewing in a different way. We all know the Nielsens are out of date.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that they should be switching to something else. And a little chink in the armor to say, hey, they're not even doing what they're supposed to do right.
Yep.
Could be important.
I don't know. I don't know how any of that stuff... supposedly even works. I mean,
everything
how
is
much
digital.
Does,
how hard is it to track everything?
Right. Now? Yeah.
Right. I mean, but what do you factor in? How many YouTube hits a show gets later? I mean, how do you?
They have age demographics for a specific subset of people that they send out little boxes, and then they capture that stuff.
Has anybody in a Nielsen family?
I've just filled out forms. I've never gotten a box that I
was. I was a Nielsen family for about a week
with a box
like 20 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, we had a box.
Oh, because I have gotten the forms.
Yeah.
I've filled out forms.
Yeah, no, I was we had the box for about a week.
You plugged it in?
Yeah, you plugged it into the TV. This was when I was a teenager, maybe. It was a while back.
I hope they realize they have to start counting DVR viewings instead of live recordings, live watch.
Yep.
And I bet it'll change a lot of the numbers.
Yeah.
And I think that they do have that capability to not only... DVR recordings, but who actually watched whatever they recorded?
Yeah.
You know, because I delete about half the stuff that I record without ever even looking at it.
So is that it? Is that the news?
That is the news.
All right, guys, let's take a break and we'll come back to talk about some comic book TV shows.
I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Scream from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero need his theme music. No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power. The system broken, the school's closed, the prison's open. We ain't got nothing to lose, motherfucker, we rollin'. Huh? Motherfucker, we rollin'. With some light-skinned girls and some Kelly Rollins. And this white man world, we the ones chosen. So good night, cool world, I see you in the morning. Huh? I see you in the morning. This is way too much, I need a moment. No one man.
So, Johnny, did you watch The Flash?
Did I watch The Flash?
Did you watch The Flash?
Oh, my God. Yes, I watched The Flash. I sat there. You know what? I laid down on the floor with my head in my hands, on my elbows.
Uh-huh.
My legs were bent at the knees. I was wearing my jammies.
You know,
like
cereal?
I felt like a goofy little kid watching that show.
I was very happy with that show.
Oh, man.
I have my quibbles, as with Arrow. My quibbles.
Is that what you called your blanket that you were on the floor with?
No, that's my stuffed animal.
Oh,
my quibbles.
Your quibbles?
No, my quibbles. I have my complaints.
It's a unicorn.
I don't like that they start off with the murder of his mom. I think that's a weird, gruesome off note for what is sort of an upbeat show. But
that's a pretty weird quibble.
It's really not.
Every superhero has to start with somebody
Flash
dying.
Flash never had that. That was introduced like 5 years ago.
Well, but it was introduced 6 or 8 months ago on Green Arrow. So.
Yeah, but the thing is, Barry Allen, here's the thing. Barry Allen should be, he's a guy, and this is the whole show's about this, that he's a guy who does the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
And I like that take on the character, and I'm kind of bummed that to motivate him, they decided he had to have his mom murdered. But that's not what motivates him to become the Flash. That's what motivated him to become a cop. What motivates him to become the Flash is, I have this power, I need to do something good with it. And that made me happy. So, like I say, quibble. Did not ruin it for me anything. I just wish they had not brought that thing from the comic in, because I didn't like it in the comics, I don't like it here.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a relatively modern thing.
It is. It's new.
I knew that the powers came from a lightning bolt. I liked the way they expanded on
that. I did, too.
That.
I thought it was a great modern update on that.
And I liked they kind of Smallville'd out on that, how the Kryptonite created all the supervillains in Smallville, and then this one the...
Yeah, this creates metahumans, so it's a big...
And metagorillas, apparently.
And metagorillas. Man, that was great. I can't... And the thing is, the producers have talked about wanting to do Grodd, and they said, if the technology's there, we really want to do it, and I'm hoping they do it, because... If you do Grodd right, he's a great bad guy.
If you could put two heads on Sarah Paulson on today's TV budgets, you could have a talking gorilla. Andy Serkis can't be busy every day of the year.
So I thought this was a great opener. I also liked what they did with the Rogues. I liked the Weather Wizard.
The Weather Wizard.
I liked the way they used him.
He was a cracker.
He is a cracker.
the Flash. The one thing that I've always liked about the Flash is that he's always had the goofiest villains,
I love
Captain
Flash's
Boomerang
Rogues Gallery.
And
Captain Cold,
Captain Boomerang, Captain Cold, Mirror Master,
Captain Kirk,
Heat Wave. Captain Kirk's a different guy.
Captain
Cool.
A lot of captains. Yeah.
You get promoted when
Captain
you fight
Stubing.
The Flash.
Captain Stubing.
The Flash gets in the fight with the Navy a lot, it seems.
Captain Crunch. That was the really bad guy.
Yeah.
But they.
Because he didn't want to use milk because he's not on FX.
They stayed pretty true to what I like about the Flash. Like they got this. I thought the speed effects were pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought the costume looked great.
Yeah.
I thought that the way they used the villains was cool. But they also added in some stuff.
They added in a love interest that just is not meant to be.
You mean Iris?
Yeah.
Iris is his wife in the comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You guys mean Isis?
Oh, sorry. No, that's a different show.
Oh, God.
No, Iris West. Is his wife in the comics? She becomes
He's
Iris
married
Allen.
Married in the comic.
Well, He's not anymore, not right now. Superhero. But he was back in the day before they killed him in the Crisis.
Oh,
it's best not to think too much about it.
Well, that's the thing. They really front loaded this episode.
They sure did.
They front loaded it a whole lot more than they did.
Is it his nephew that becomes the next Flash?
It's his. It's Iris's nephew, Wally West, who becomes the next Flash. Here's the funny thing. Wally becomes married eventually to Linda Park, who is a newscaster. However, she is presented as a 30-something newscaster here. They threw that name in, so I don't think we're going to see that relationship unless they go into some weird territory where it's a 30-year-old newscaster dating a 15-year-old. Because I'm sure we'll see Wally West at some point. We'll see Kid Flash. We saw Speedy. I'm sure we'll see Kid Flash.
Yeah.
So as far as the comic, how does Kid Flash, how does Wally even get his powers?
Same accident.
Come on.
Nope.
It happens.
And in the comics...
So this is the best character and this is the best costume and all that.
In the comics, the later explanation they gave, because people like Grant need realism in their comics where people are running faster than light, is that Barry, when he dies in the Crisis, sort of becomes the lightning bolt and goes back and grants Wally's greatest wish in time. It's basically, he goes back in time and creates
the
Kid Flash.
Doctor.
Yes.
Somehow or another.
And I was like, that's fine, but it's unnecessary. Look, he got the same, it's the same powers. If chemicals and lightning can give you powers once, how is twice any sillier?
Right.
That's the way it is. I mean, you either buy in or you don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
And the Flash is one of those kind of B team level, I think. I mean, he's a big guy, but he's
You know, I'd put him. I'd put him
on him a lot in the last.
I'd
several
put
years.
Him about where Iron Man is on in Marvel.
Right.
Not now, but where he was.
And I think those characters are the most malleable to make movies and shows out of.
Agreed.
Because when you put them on a film, put them on TV, their personality becomes, okay, that's who they are now. For some reason,
yep.
It doesn't matter if you have 50 years of comic book history,
yep.
A movie trumps everything.
Agreed.
You know, that's the standard now.
Well, and Grant Gustin playing sort of a young, you know, idealist Barry Allen, I thought he was great.
I did too.
Oh, his name's Grant?
His name is Grant. Now you like the show?
I like this guy.
All right.
Yeah. He's okay.
You're the first Grant, though.
I am.
There's
you're
also
the
Grant Prime.
You're U.S. Grant.
Yeah.
There's some fun little nods. Eddie Thawn, who is Iris's boyfriend, the detective.
Yeah.
Eobard Thawn is the name of the Reverse Flash.
See, I was thinking he was Booster Gold.
No.
Because he was...
Booster Gold is Michael Carter.
Okay.
No, but he is... If he's tied into Reverse Flash is the one who kills Barry's mom.
Right. In the future.
So, in the future.
With which... Ed can whatever his name is on there.
Yeah, if that's where they're going, maybe it is. Maybe they're using the name. It's possible. I don't know. Because Eobard could be his descendant or something.
I've already seen pictures where they have a Reverse Flash.
Yeah, I'm sure Reverse Flash is in it.
So he's going to be in soon.
Yeah.
So is Ed... What is his name? The guy that used to be on Ed.
Oh, yeah.
Is he in the comics?
Tom Cavanaugh is a new creation as scientist Harrison Wells.
Okay.
At Star Labs. Now, Star Labs is from the comics.
Yeah.
But... I love the addition. That's what I was going to say. Is in addition to what they got right about the what exists, they're adding some new stuff, just like Arrow. You know, Arrow out of family and Felicity and all that kind of stuff. This is adding Harrison Wells as sort of his mentor, sort of both scientifically and as the guy who's sort of helping him develop his powers. And you've got the young techies, one of whom is more serious, and that's Danielle Panabaker as Caitlin Snow.
Now, is she from S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, she sure seems like,
I thought that was the same chick,
It
man.
Seems a lot like her.
I'm like, is there a factory that just makes these hot young girls for superhero
cute,
TV
cute female
shows?
Scientist. Although she's more serious than whatever her name is.
Isn't she like a Sky?
No.
No.
The two scientists, Fitz and Simmons.
She looks exactly
like her. She looks a lot like Simmons.
Henstridge.
And she's a scientist, and she's a cute young girl, and I get the same vibe. But personality-wise, she's not at all the same.
Well, yeah. I didn't mean was it the same character.
No, but
is it a crossover?
And then there's Carlos Valdez playing Cisco Ramon, who... would you like to know who Cisco Ramon is in the comics?
Are you sure it's not Cisco Ramon playing Carlos Valdez? get a little Wi-Fi.
Let me check the columns.
It's like a Wi-Fi.
I am almost certain, and now I got to look it up. I am almost certain that Cisco Ramon in the comics is the breakdancing superhero vibe.
Oh,
are you serious?
I got to look now because somebody said that, and I'm like, is that right?
Does he fight via breakdancing?
Okay, that is correct. Vibe is Francisco Paco Ramon. Created in 1984 as the first breakdancing superhero. Now, his powers are vibration. They have redone him in New 52, and he's, because his powers are sort of vibrate his body and that kind of thing, he's the counterbalance to the Flash.
Mm.
He can deal with the Flash as sort of vibrating his molecules and that kind of thing. And they tried to do more serious, but his name is Vibe, and he did breakdancing, so...
Captain America was the first jitterbugging superhero.
Yes, yes, he was.
I believe.
Now, I'm hoping that means at some point we're going to get Vibe in live action. That would make me so happy, because it's the silliest... I mean, he's one of the silliest characters, and I would love to see them do it.
Well, he seemed like a pretty good... side character.
Yeah,
he wasn't annoying. A lot of characters like that just come across badly to me, and I liked them all right off the bat.
Yeah, he's the
and
POV,
I liked that you know, time had gone by in his coma.
Yeah,
and it's like, hey, my fiance got killed. You know.
Yeah.
You know, excuse me if I'm not too happy or whatever.
And there's also John Wesley Shipp plays Barry's dad, and a nice nod to the old Flash show.
Nice little nod there.
I like. They've got Jesse L. Martin, late of Law and Order, playing the detective who's his like mentor and sort of surrogate father figure.
I love seeing men age gracefully.
Yeah,
you know,
Jesse L. Martin's done well for himself.
I mean, he was a Broadway beautiful guy, great singer.
Yep.
He was he's done all kinds of stuff, and he looks really good, but he looks older.
Older, yeah.
You know, he's not wearing a hairpiece or anything like that. I'm like, yeah, right on.
He's great in this role. Now, what did you think of the Arrow moment?
I loved it.
Me too.
I absolutely loved it.
Me too. I thought it was great, and I thought it was one of the best moments in the show.
Yeah.
Was seeing the two of them. And you know the vibe I got? We mentioned Iron Man earlier. It's like when I first saw Iron Man, and I started talking about the Avengers Initiative. And I realized that this is DC building. They're building their world on TV the same way Marvel did in the movies.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're doing it right.
Yeah, I think so too.
So that made me really happy to see that not only does he spin off from Arrow, they're going to acknowledge that right off the bat.
So do these characters, like, Arrow and Flash are in the same universe?
Yes.
They're in the same county almost.
Are they the same Are they the same city too?
No.
They're, what, 600 miles?
600 miles apart. Yeah, 600 miles apart.
Are they the first superheroes, or is it established that Batman and Superman already exist?
They have not established Batman and Superman. I bet they won't.
But do you get the feeling that those characters exist already in different cities?
No, I don't get that sense at all. I don't get the sense that it's impossible that they could say it later, but I don't. They're not. They haven't mentioned anything like that. There's no LexCorp. I don't get the sense that Batman and Superman exist in this world.
Is this something where Arrow is kind of coined as the first superhero, and therefore he dons this outfit and creates all these bad guys to emulate him?
He did kind of, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the reason he went to see him. He went to see him to say, you know, because Flash.
Oh,
because Arrow says, yeah. Well, he's not Flash yet. Barry goes to see him, and he meets him on a rooftop, and he just spills his guts about what all's going on. And then the camera pans over, and Arrow's standing there, and he says, "So why are you telling me this?" He's like, "Guys, you're the only person I know that does anything remotely weird."
But what Grant's asking is, there's a writer's trope, which I hate, that Batman creates all his own villains. And I don't think
it's true.
I don't think that's what we're supposed to get out of Arrow. I mean, yes, Deathstroke came at the same time, but I don't think it was supposed to be like, because Green Arrow started acting, that's why Deathstroke showed up.
No, but the science experiment, clearly, that was an intention.
The science experiment does create metahumans.
Which is, you know, part of the reason you don't put Hadron Colliders in the middle of a major city. You build them in a mountain in Switzerland.
So Weather Wizard is operating the whole time that Barry is in his coma.
Yeah, okay.
So Weather Wizard is there before the Flash shows up. Weather Wizard is the reason the Flash develops his costume and comes after
But it. they all got their powers at the same time.
From the same thing, yes. Kinda the quantum like thing, yes.
Misfits or Kryptonite in Smallville.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly that. Yeah.
But he didn't come up with the costume himself. That was
Star Labs.
That was Star Labs, and it was, you know, it was almost like how Batman got his stuff from military.
Yeah, it was a firefighter outfit. I thought that was really cool. Yeah, yeah. They were developing it for firefighters because it was heat resistant and it has a gas mask that he throws away.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't need it.
Is the whole thing like he's so fast that the friction could cause heat and that, so he needs
they,
that?
I mean, that's an existing thing in Flash's powers. However, they sort of played fast and loose here because he was running around in his regular clothes and there was no effect on it except when he ran all the way to Central to Starling,
when he stopped, his coat was
sparking.
It was, sparking a lot. But he was running like crazy, and he kind of on a runway, on an airport runway.
Yeah,
and he kind of lost track of what he was thinking about, and he ran into a big barrel formation and broke his arm.
Oh,
and
I love this.
And his arm healed within a couple of hours.
Yeah, they added a tweak to Flash.
Still, you know. Pretty much, it's like, okay, you need a little bit of armor, you know.
Yeah, they added a really neat tweak to Flash's powers that he heals really fast as well.
Yeah, they don't have him eating really fast, which was something I really appreciated in the 80s Flash.
In the comics, he had to eat to keep himself fueled.
You burn that many, you're still burning a whole lot of calories, whether it's supernatural.
That would be hilarious if they always had to have him like just chowing on food all the time.
In the 80s and 90s, that was Wally West's thing. He had to eat to keep his metabolism up, and I thought that was a neat little thing.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you also have Arrow.
Yes. So Arrow is back for its third season, and I thought the return was amazing.
Me too.
I thought it was great.
Me too. Kind of heartbreakingly amazing.
But
while we're still on the Flash, I loved that they tied in that those were both happening at the exact same time.
Yeah, because on the Arrow season premiere, they cut away to Grant Gustin on the roof saying, "Hey, I need to talk to you."
Yeah.
We don't see the scene again,
but we see when it
took place.
So it's all the stuff's going on in Arrow's life.
Yeah.
And, you know, there we go again.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, the thing that I love about Arrow is that Oliver Queen is wrestling with, am I even supposed to be doing this?
Yeah.
You know, what is the point of me doing this?
Yep.
And how about if I try to be normal? And of course,
things did not go well.
Yeah, because the bad guy now, from the Blacklist came over.
Are you buying this whole rationale that he and Felicity can't be together because it's too dangerous? Because she still works for him all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems a little artificial to me.
Well, and just the fact that he all of a sudden went, oh, I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Black Canary shows up as well.
Yeah.
And I'm better with just their character names than what they're, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the Black Canary thing was...
We'll get to that because that's tail end. But yeah. Peter Stormare comes in as the new Count Vertigo. And yeah. Peter Stormare has been in everything. And he's a great... In the comics, Vertigo is a guy. He's an Eastern European count. That's why he's called Count Vertigo.
Okay.
He's an actual count. And he has powers that make people get vertigo. It's not the drug or anything like that. So they're edging closer to it with a guy who actually throws things and disrupts people's, you know, nervous systems a little bit. More than just... the Scarecrow-esque, but it's still a little Scarecrow-esque.
It is a little bit Scarecrow-esque, but...
But I like Stormare as the new Count Vertigo. He's a great bad guy.
When Stormare can play a bad guy seriously or playing a bad guy jokingly, he plays him exactly the same way.
Yep.
There's just something so funny about that.
Yeah.
Like, you're just kind of creeping me out whether you're...
Well, I mean, he's ruthless enough that he RPGs a restaurant to get at his target.
Yeah.
And he's willing to blow up an entire sports stadium.
Yeah.
By the way, before we get too far in, I want to mention a ton of DC Comics nods, as always, in Arrow.
Oh, okay.
The boxing match, that was Wildcat, who was a longtime Justice Society.
It was the old guy?
Ted Grant.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to make him a young version, but it was Ted Grant was on the title card of that. Of course, we have Ray Palmer, played by Brandon Routh, who is the Atom.
Oh, okay.
Yep. They remake him here as sort of a corporate raider type, which I thought was really neat. I liked the banter with him and Felicity.
I liked him, though. As a corporate raider, he wasn't evil about
it.
The numbers speak for themselves.
Yeah.
I'm not. But I knew that he had to be somebody.
He was a foil, but not a bad guy. And I'm sure he'll be the Atom before the end of the season is out.
Yeah. And Brandon Routh, you know, he's not ever going to not be a comic book guy.
Also, his presentation, where he suggests marketing, they rename the city.
Yeah.
Star City is Arrow's traditional city.
Oh, okay.
Starling City was invented for the show, so they're going to change it to Star City, which makes it more... Again, it's a little more of that evolution toward the comic, and that made me really happy.
Cool.
So that was a great moment for me.
What's Green Lantern's city?
Coast City.
Oh, okay.
A.K.A. San Francisco.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All the
What did you think of Paul Blackthorne as Quentin Lance?
I love Paul Blackthorne.
I thought he was great.
He's doing this crazy little Humphrey Bogart impression through his whole thing.
Yep.
But he was my first favorite thing about the show.
Yeah. I like him being on Arrow's side. I like him giving him a public thanks and being a high up enough police that he can be like, no, we're working with him now.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
But they didn't, like, unveil a statue or something.
No, or bring up the Arrow
like
signal.
That. Yeah, the Arrow signal. Just a little bit of, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm going to level with you.
What about Diggle
being a dad?
Diggle being a dad and Diggle being sort of backgrounded.
Well,
him taking him out of the field. I mean, it makes sense.
It makes sense.
Is it going to work for the show?
Well, it makes sense given Oliver Queen's struggles. I mean, that's the thing is that nothing. What I like about the show primarily is that it looks at him as a human being who is making human being decisions.
And this was great for that.
And and for him to pull the and that their relationship has really developed. I mean, it's Green Arrow, but it's very metaphorically good for me. I really enjoy that.
Right.
And but you know, he's not going to be backgrounded for long.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about the Hong Kong flashbacks?
I'm into them.
Me too.
It just makes me think of Lost. It's a great comic book version. It's a cross between comic books and Lost.
Tied together
well without feeling like a ripoff of Lost.
Yeah, I agree. I also like that he's acting like people would act in the situation. The first thing he does is try to grab a phone on the street. First thing he does is go to an email cafe and type his mom exactly the words I was thinking he should type, which is, I'm still alive, I'm in Hong Kong.
Right.
And he just can't quite get there.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything stupid where he's writing a big long email and that's why he gets caught. The guy was too fast for him.
Right. And then it becomes he's held hostage over out of his own conscience.
Yeah. You know? And that was a great, I mean, that made sense.
Yeah.
And then there's the finale.
And then there's the finale that left me.
Do you think?
I mean, just flopped over onto the floor.
We know this season the bad guy is Ra's al Ghul. Ra's al Ghul has Lazarus bits, which resurrect people from the dead.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to leave her?
You know a lot more than we do.
Do you think that's going to they're going to leave her dead? Do you? I mean, because in the comics, Dinah Laurel Lance is Black Canary.
Okay.
So if they're going away where her sister starts off and then Laurel becomes Black Canary, the thing is, I don't think that actress is, much as I like her in bits, Katie Cassidy, I don't think she's up to playing Black Canary.
Oh, I think that she's in a trailer for a movie called Scribbles or something like that that looks pretty great.
Is it Quibbles?
No, it's not Quibbles. That's going to start as a monologue.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be a stage play.
Oh, okay.
And then they're going to make a movie.
Well, yeah, you don't want to waste it.
Yeah, I've been working on it since this started, since this podcast. All that tapping you heard, that was me doing a treatment.
Is there a song about the milk conspiracy?
Is there?
Anyway, Katie Cassidy.
So I think that she's, you know, I mean, actors will always surprise you with, oh, I didn't see that coming. Well, that's not the part they were playing. You know? But I just think Katie Lotz is just, you know, she's something else.
She's great, and she was great as that Black Canary, and I hope I part of me wants them to stick with it, like that, you know, if you kill someone and stick with it, but part of me is like, oh, I hate to lose that performance because she was great as that role.
Well, you know, the fact that you bring Ra's al Ghul into it, and then her girlfriend was Ra's al Ghul's daughter, so.
Well, any speculation as to who shot her?
Oh, John Barrowman.
Nope, too obvious.
Why would that be too obvious?
I think it's somebody connected to Ra's al Ghul.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. She acted like she knew him. She's like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
She was trying to tell Oliver, you know, she told her sister, like, I'm here for something.
Right.
But I don't want to talk about it, which I assume that she was there to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And that she didn't do it. Like, her conscience prevented her from doing it, and the League of Assassins paid her back.
Ah.
That's my speculation.
Oh.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, speculation is always better.
It wouldn't shock me that Barrowman would be there. I mean, Merlin's going to be in it again, but I'm not sure why Merlin would kill her.
You know why I say that? Because what? I thought I saw his name in the credits.
He is in the credits.
Okay, but he wasn't in the show.
But he wasn't in the show.
Except for maybe that was his voice.
Yeah.
That was my only connection.
Did anybody say anything? I thought she said something and then she got shot. I don't remember anyone saying anything to her.
Yeah.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, there was a voice.
I didn't hear it. I don't remember.
But there was a voice.
But yeah, no, he's listed on IMDb as credit only.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. It could be that he did the voice. It could be not. I mean,
It could just mean that he's a regular.
I wouldn't rule. He is a regular, I guess. I wouldn't. I mean, Thea
wasn't in there.
She's on the credits as well.
Okay. So they're full on regulars this season.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't 100% rule it out, but my speculation is it's something to do with the League of Assassins.
Well, it was devastating to me.
Yeah, it was, because I was not expecting
crazy
that.
About Katie Lotz. I recommend Netflix. I recommend The Machine. That's a movie that's been recently put onto Netflix. If you like 1980s sci-fi, Katie Lotz does a really great woman android episode on there. Really great old sci-fi feel to it.
So we are, like all teenage girls, right on board the CW's programming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do my nails. I wear pore strips all over my face.
We loved Arrow. We love Flash.
Well, we got one more comic show to discuss, and that is the season 5 return of The Walking Dead.
Yes.
I'm going to excuse myself.
Oh, yeah? You haven't seen it?
You know, I just gave up on that show.
Oh, well.
Me too. And then I went back, and then I gave up.
Finally really give up.
This show is such a love-hate show. But
I know.
I feel like we're finally seeing Scott Gimple, the new creative head, being able to take this show and do something interesting with it again.
I need one whole season where I don't hate any episodes before I'm willing to make that judgment.
I haven't had one yet. I can't guarantee that.
I gave up after the prison thing.
I feel like I did.
So I'm going to excuse myself. Thank you, gentlemen.
Get
Johnny
out of here.
Neal out.
Get out of here, Johnny. Get out.
But no, I do feel like they... I do feel like this was maybe one of the strongest episodes they did. This is what they do well. Action, they do well.
They do action great. They are pretty strong on their episodes coming back, their season premieres.
Their season premieres are usually pretty good.
It's kind of hit and miss with their finales, because last year, actually, I thought closed out great. I thought they had a great ramp up. The second half of the season 4, all the way through to the end, I thought was actually a strong home stretch.
There was some rough stuff in the middle, but yeah, you're right.
There was.
Yeah.
But I thought that was closer to the cutoff halfway point.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, so I was surprised that they rushed through this plot so quickly.
Me too. I thought we were going to have more time with Terminus, but instead they went right into it.
They jumped in it. They blew it up and they said, let's get the fuck out.
One thing I think has helped. They've pared the cast down quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody they have in the cast, they've finally gotten rid of most of their weaker actors, I think.
Yeah.
Because the actors they have every...
That's weird to do.
Because there's nobody in that cast now that I don't like. Even Eugene, the hillbilly scientist, who I don't think is actually a scientist.
Yeah.
I like him for what he is.
His line he was delivering about like how the vaccines or whatever,
yeah,
the viruses,
yep.
Yep. Just sounded like such bullshit.
Oh, it's because I'm sure he's making it up.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I am sure he's making that up.
And the big redhead Abraham was just nodding along.
Yep, like, yep. Because that guy's supposed to be dumb.
His hair looks fucking terrible every time I see it.
I know, but I kind of like it now because he's supposed to be the guy who's out of touch. He doesn't look right.
Oh man,
he
looks so weird like that.
How badass is Carol at this point?
They have transformed that character and made her stronger and cooler. It's funny, the best characters in this show are the ones that were not in the comic.
Are the ones
that
are in the comic, yeah.
Carol and Daryl?
Well, Carol's in the comic, but she's a completely different character, and she's dead.
Is she?
Yeah.
Was she in the very beginning?
She was the one who wanted to have the three-way with Rick and Lori, who got a zombie to bite her, spoilers for the comic.
Oh.
That's Carol. Nothing like the one in the TV,
wow.
But that's Carol.
With the abusive husband in the beginning?
The abusive husband wasn't in the comic. But,
yeah, see.
And the character's different, because in the TV show, she's an older woman. In the comic, she's a young, like, 20 or 30-something.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah.
Brilliant. I love they just turn her into a superhero.
Yes.
Basically. Have her put on her war paint.
She wages a one-woman war on Terminus and wins.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem outlandish or unbelievable.
Nope.
Except for the fact that they say they're like monitoring their woods all around.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how's she just kind of walking around?
Well, they just thought she's another walker.
She does come with the, what's that giant swell, the horde, whatever they call it, of walkers.
Yeah, do they call it a herd?
A herd.
They call it a herd, yeah.
I like how that was just kind of timed nicely for her. I had a little bit of a problem with, okay, first off, they're hitting people in the head with a baseball bat,
yep.
Slitting their throat.
Yep.
Vicious, gruesome.
Brutal.
It was just, I mean... They really go for it, and they don't flinch about those terrible scenes. And there's something kind of brave about that, I think.
Yeah.
For how they execute it. Because
yeah.
I think earlier on, they were doing that stuff, and it was just gore porn.
Right.
Without
yeah.
the payoff.
Yeah.
They had the suspense that went within.
Yeah, and they had the guys cutting up the corpse in the background.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The other thing was, I knew they weren't going to kill Glenn or anybody. I knew they were going to get out, but I didn't know how.
Yeah. I didn't like that. I was talking to you about this off mic before, but I didn't like that they did like three feints of like about to hit Glenn in the head of the
You're right, they did too much of
and
that.
And it was just like, oh, nope, something pops up. And they already showed that Rick had a shiv that he was like pulling out, but why wouldn't he have made a move on the first swing of the bat before it could have killed him?
Because I don't think he was ready. I think you saw him try. He was kind of cut his bonds.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't, even though he had the shiv in his hand, he couldn't do anything with it with him behind his back. He had to cut loose first. And that's why Carol was important because this was a key thing, is that Carol rescues them to some extent, but they also rescue themselves.
Yeah.
Like if she'd been the one doing it, they'd still have been dead.
Yeah.
Because if Rick had not been free to act, they still would have killed all those guys before they went out to help the others.
True.
So Carol gave them the opportunity to save themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But Rick had to cut himself free. And he had to have time to do it. And Carol gave him the time to do it. That's all that was. But I like that when it came to it, he didn't hesitate.
No.
Like, he kills the guy, and the other guy starts begging for his life, and he just kills him. Like, come on, dude. You can't beg now. Look what you did.
Rick is vicious.
Yep.
I especially liked, like, as soon as they get out, Rick was like, no, we're going back. We're going to kill every single one of them.
Yeah.
And that gets cut short because he ends
They
up
talk
being,
him out of it,
yeah,
but...
He gets reunited with his daughter, and he's like, okay, at this point, we can move on.
Yeah.
But... I like the strong, no-bullshit leader that they've been able to transition Rick to.
I agree.
I think it took too long, but...
Yeah, I agree. I thought also, in contrast, we see Tyrese being confronted with how you can't be a good guy in this world.
Yeah.
And I thought that... What was interesting was the guy was right. The guy was 100% right that he should have just put a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Judith would never have been in any danger.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 100% right, and finally, Tyrese... Did what the guy predicted. He was gonna have to. It was him or them.
Yeah, you or me,
and
the other guy completely understood the situation.
Yep.
Except that he kept trying to term it as good guy or bad guy.
Yeah.
And it it was just nicely juxtaposed with what Tyrus was going through right there at that moment, because in the previous episode they had just killed the little girl.
Yeah.
And that's why he was just kind of losing his faith in humanity again.
Yep. Yep.
I like that he could find the right justification and make the move and kill him.
I also like seeing everybody reunited. I liked that they got Carol and Tyrese alone together at the end of the last season, mm-hmm. because it meant that they could deal with what I thought was a mistake of making her a badass, but also putting her at odds with Tyrese.
Yeah.
And so they've resolved that so that now she doesn't have to go be on her own.
And it was nice how they resolved that. Because it was just kind of like, hey, I did this. And he goes, all right, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that Rick sort of kicked her out of the group and they don't have to do a big dramatic thing where he's like, I was wrong. Or she's like, you know, screw you. I came back to rescue you even though you kicked me out. They just both acknowledge that's the way the world is now, but we're still loyal to each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's finally, it seems like they're finally getting to a place where the characters are acting consistently.
We're finally getting a bond that justifies their actions for each other.
Yeah. Well, and I thought Glenn made an important point here where he says, we're still those guys. When Rick is like, we don't have time to let them out of this. He's like, we're those guys. He's like saying, that's what our group is. We're practical, but we're not assholes.
We have to save that one guy so he can get bit by a zombie immediately. Yeah,
okay, well, it didn't pay off.
No.
But he's not wrong that they had to do it.
No, and that was another good, beautiful point. And it's funny that we're shifting such gears to actually, you know, being able to acknowledge that they're doing a good job developing the characters.
Well, that's what's important, is that
hitting on those points.
They've always done action well, and they've always done creepy, gory horror they've sucked at character stuff.
And they're getting better.
And they're finally getting better. And that's what they needed to make the show go from watchable but frustrating to really entertaining.
And they sucked at pacing before.
Yeah, and I'm still not prepared to... I'm still not saying they won't. They still may screw up and have a bunch of stupid episodes this season.
They very much might, but this episode...
It was a good start.
The pacing was just so fast, breakneck pace.
Dead on.
Wow.
Yep, dead on.
I don't see how they can maintain it.
There were no scenes where I was like, okay, get through this already so we can get back to what I care about.
And they could have, like we said in the beginning, they could have dragged on this Terminus thing for three or four episodes.
And I'm glad they didn't.
And I could have been okay with it because I thought there's a lot of interesting elements going on there. The one thing I didn't really like was the intro and outro with them trying to tie this into us.
That was a little weird.
About the cannibals.
Yeah, who cares? Because they're gone now. I mean, except that I think the guy who was the leader of them, he doesn't die. We see him get winged by Carol.
There's a couple people that don't die,
and so I think he's probably going to be.
It could be an ongoing threat.
However, Mother Terminus, played by Tasha Yar, Denise Crosby, she's dead.
She's a goner.
I was going to say I found it funny in watching this that this show almost passed the Bechdel test.
Oh,
because Carol and Mother Terminus have this big fight, and I'm like, I was thinking this show's passed the Bechdel test in the most awesome way by having two women just beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah,
but then Carol. Like, where are the men? And I'm like, oh, never mind, he didn't pass it.
Yeah. So overall, it's interesting.
Back on board. Back on board for more. Hurt me again, Walking Dead. I'm ready.
Yeah. But that's it for our episode today, guys.
Yep.
So once again, we'd like to ask our audience, you know, please let us know your thoughts in the comments about these shows. Which one do you think is the best comic show? Comic adaptation.
One more left.
Huh? Oh.
Constantine.
We have Constantine.
Gotta wait before you make that final judgment.
Well, yeah, that's a couple of weeks away still.
That's
isn't
true.
It? Like November 9th or something?
October 24th.
Don't we have iZombie coming out soon?
iZombie is mid-season, I believe. Mid-season. So it has to wait. It doesn't count.
But yeah, let us know what you guys think of these so far. And once again, like us on Facebook and on Twitter. Give us that 5-star rating on iTunes. Send us email at mail@thetvdudes.com. And until next week,
TV Dudes out. When I think about you, baby, I can't help it. Help it. I lose all my focus and I just can't stand it. I get so excited every time I hear your name. Your name. And you don't reciprocate, and it's a damn shame. Oh, see, all I'm trying to do, girl, is give you my time. And you know, you better not move too slow, cause I'm moving on. I'll take the chance and roll.
be done. Cause I'm giving it up to you, and you know this much is true. As time moves on, consider me gone, cause I'm moving on. I know it sounds crazy, but I just can't do this. It feels like we're wasting time, so I'll get to it. When I look into your eyes, I can see right through you. And you don't feel the same way that I do. All I'm trying to do, girl, is give you my time, and you know you better not move too slow, cause I'm moving on, lady. I'll take this chance and roll the dice. I might miss out on the love of my life. Cause you know as time moves on, I won't always be around, and I'll be gone, and I won't always be down. Cause I'm giving it up to you, and you know this much is true. As time moves on, consider me gone, cause I'm moving on. I'm telling you, you really missed out on a good thing for sure. As a matter of fact, I'm glad I didn't walk through that door. I'm a better man for it, said I could learn from it or ignore it. You know I've seen it all before. Now your best friend's at my door. I'm moving on.